our online viewers from everywhere all around the world. The Lord strengthen you. The Lord help you. The Lord aid you and assist you today in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. May you enjoy the miraculous like never before. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, are you excited to be in God's presence this morning? Good to see your faces. The Lord God that has brought you will strengthen your heart in the mighty name of Jesus. All right, mastering your mind. Mastering your mind. Mastering your mind. Part 3. Mastering your mind. And our theme scripture says, why are we looking at the concept of our mind? We are looking at two scriptures critically. We said, for us, that's Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, or in his mind. We said, he said the word heart there is the word mind. Therefore, as it, because you think in your mind. He said, for as he thinketh in his mind, so is he. Hallelujah. So your life cannot be better than the condition of your heart. Your life cannot be better than the condition of your thoughts. Your thoughts determines the outcome of your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 now says, if you want your life to change, if you want your life to be transformed, if you want to move from one pedestal to a higher pedestal, what do you do? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Be ye transformed. Be ye changed. Step into blessing. Step into honor. Step into glory by the renewing of your mind. And what we have been doing all along is what? Renewal of our mind. And we have been talking about the concept of the mind, and we have said so many things about the mind. But last week, we were talking about how do I manage my mind? How do I manage my mind? How do I manage my mind? And today, we're going to be looking at that once again. So I gave you how many points last week? 2 points on how to manage our mind. Alright, so we continue from there. Praise the Lord. Now listen carefully today, so that you learn these principles and you begin to imbibe them and begin to walk with them. Controlling and mastering your mind is a possibility. You are not just managing your mind. No, you can master your mind. Hallelujah. There is a difference between managing a situation and mastering a situation. And the intention of God is for us to gain mastery, control over our mind. And it is a reality. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. So how do I manage my mind? How do I control it? How do I put my mind into subjection? Number 3. Engage and develop a solution mindset. Engage and develop a solution mindset. That is critical. Hallelujah. Now, how do I engage a solution mindset? Very simple. Every time you have problems, what do you normally do? Anybody? There is a challenge. What do you normally do? Hallelujah. Should I tell you what we normally do? What Jesus was trying to do in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hallelujah. What was he trying to do in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus saw the cross. Jesus saw a challenge. Jesus wanted to run away. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. He said, Lord, let this cup pass over me. Is that not what you normally do when there is a problem, a challenge? Let this cup pass. That is our approach. That is because, you know why? Because in our brain, in our amygdala, you remember your amygdala now. Once your amygdala is saying danger, the next thing is, how do I avoid it? Hallelujah. How do I avoid it? But that is a negative approach to solution to problems. But you must learn to develop a mindset that approaches a problem, solves the problem. Because the only exercise that strengthens your thinking capacity is problem. Hallelujah. The same way you do physical exercise, that is the same effect problems causes to your brain. When you have a problem and you say, Lord, how do I solve this problem? You are on the pathway to getting a solution. That's the solution mindset. Hallelujah. For example, you are cash strapped. The only thing you just think of is, where is that my uncle that can borrow me money? Isn't it? Is it not easier? Hallelujah. Than to sit down and calculate, what can I do to solve this problem? Many of us don't embrace that. There is a country called New Zealand. Hallelujah. I'm sure you know, you have heard of New Zealand before. It's one of the farthest countries in the earth. Now, that country most of the birds, most of the birds or birds in that country don't fly. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, science discovered that the birds in that country that are flying now started flying maybe barely 1,000 years ago. But they have the highest population of birds in the world that do not fly. But do you know why? Now here is it. Do you know why they fly? I'll tell you. They fly because of problems. Now, in New Zealand, that research was the one that really showed us why birds don't fly. They discovered that in that particular nation, they have very, very limited predators. They don't really have human predators there. They don't really have snakes. They don't really have every other major animals that normally eat birds. So because of that, the birds stepped into a comfort zone. So when they engaged comfort zone, over time, they lost their ability to fly. Do you understand? So do you know why? Do you know what I'm saying this morning? Every time you run away from challenges, you are losing your ability to rise. Every time. So every time you are running away from challenges, you refuse to confront challenges and proffer solutions, you are limiting yourself from flying. And you know what? In a matter of time, you will lose the ability to rise. Every man that rises is a solution provider. And how does solution come? Solution comes when you engage your thinking faculty. How do I get out of this problem? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, there are no temptations taken, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He said, there is nothing that confronts you that is not normal. There is nothing that confronts you that is beyond what you can carry. He said, look at it. He said, for God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able to bear? Hallelujah. He said, because right in the temptation, he will make a way of escape. Right in the temptation, he will make a way of escape. But the question is this, how does God make a way of escape? When you engage your thinking faculty. Do you understand that? So number three way, every time there is a problem, every time challenges rise up, the first thing that should come to your mind is, how do I solve this problem? You know why? Because every problem rises to stretch your mind so that you can think. Hallelujah. Don't lose your flight. Don't lose your ability to fly. Don't be like the birds in New Zealand. Hallelujah. All right, number four. Use the power of your conscious mind to control your subconscious mind. Use the power of your conscious mind to control your subconscious mind. Now, that is very critical. I will explain it. There is something that is called the iceberg principle. I'm sure some of us have heard it before. The iceberg principle. Now, what is the iceberg principle? A psychologist or a neuroscientist, he specializes in neuroplasticity. He says something that is very interesting. He came up with the concept of the iceberg concerning our mind. Now, the iceberg happens to be a body, a large mass of ice inside water. But the problem is this. You only see a tip of it. You only see part of it like this that is showing on the surface. You only see just a little part. The remaining part, that's the heavier part, is usually within the water. So they call it the iceberg principle. Now, what does that mean? You remember the story of the Titanic. What sank the Titanic? The Titanic simply ran into an iceberg. How did the Titanic run into an iceberg? Because the people inside the boat that were supposed to be checking, they looked at it, they saw a small piece of ice ahead, and they said it's a small ice, and they kept on going, not knowing that the real ice, the real mass, was underwater. So they ran into the iceberg, and the Titanic sank. Are you following me now? Now that is the way our mind is designed. Our conscious mind, the portion of our mind that we are conscious of, is the tip of the iceberg. That is what is referred to as what? As the conscious mind. But the real one that is underneath is what is called what? The subconscious mind. Now, most of the time, you are not conscious of your subconscious. That's why it is referred to as what? Subconscious. Not really conscious. And that's why sometimes when you have a dream, it's not as if there is any big deal. It's not as if sometimes there is even a danger. The main problem is that your subconscious mind is replaying what you have kept inside. I've told you before jokingly that sometimes you have you ever had it has happened to me before that you are watching a movie and you just slept off and you are acting the movie. You just saw yourself inside the movie and you are running up and down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Your subconscious mind was triggered. But now, watch. Now, this is the critical part. Your conscious mind is what we really refer to as your mind. The subconscious mind is what we refer to as the mindset. Now, very critical. You need to understand that about your mind. The conscious is what is called what? Your what? Your real mind. But the subconscious is what is called the what? The mindset. Now, the problem is this. It is impossible for you to directly have anything to do with your mindset. Because it is an accumulation of things that have happened over the years and are settled down there. A young man, when he was very young, when he was about 10 years old, was beaten by a snake. And he nearly died. He nearly died. You understand? He almost died. But God helped him. God saved him. The mark was there, and it was about two of his fingers were beaten off eventually. So, you know, that was how he grew up. So, you know what? One day he was going with some of his friends, and his friends just saw, what's it called? Earthworm. So, immediately they saw the earthworm. You know what happened? He ran away. Why? When he asked, why are you running from earthworm? He said, snake, it's not snake. So, you know what? It has registered in his subconscious that everywhere you see anything that is crawling and moving, it is what? Danger. So he kept running away. And that's the way many of us have built up our lives. We have developed mindsets in our spirit man that is limiting us. That is not anybody can tell you. That's why many times people will say, I have made up my mind. Have you heard that before? I have made up my mind. This is what I will do. So when sometimes they say somebody is stubborn, it's not the problem, is the information that is kept in his mindset. So the mindset, which is the subconscious, controls the what? Controls the conscious mind. And that's a major problem. But the problem is this: how did that mindset come there? You know, sometimes you say this thing that somebody is doing, this thing you are doing is not good. Change it. You said, okay, from today, I will not do it again. And then you come back and do it again. Why? It is not enough that you don't say it like that. No. There is a mindset that is controlling by remote the conscious mind. So you need to change it. But now, glory be to God, how do I change it? How do I change my mindset? Somebody said, a mindset is what controls you. Your mind is what you control. Now, that's critical. Your mindset is what controls you. But what? Your mind is what you can control. So how do I use my conscious mind to control my subconscious? So that I develop new what? I develop new mindsets. What do I need to do? Do you know what? It's very simple. By speaking. By what? By speaking. That is why we said something. That you develop an habit over how many days? 21 days. If you keep doing something repeatedly, over 21 days, it goes down into your subconscious. Create a mindset there, and a new habit has been formed. And that's critical. So what do? You put the word of God in your mouth. Hallelujah. And you begin to say it. Now, this is the way it works. Once you begin to say it, for example, you just declare, but you made up your mind that in the next 21 days, I want to become wealthy. I'm using that as an example. And you begin to decree that, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, your word says, you begin to quote, your word says, I am rich, I am not poor. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Bible says, for this reason, Jesus Christ left all the glory in heaven and came down. He became poor so that I, through his poverty, can become rich. And you begin to control, confess it. You begin to confess that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Psalm 112, for instance, verse 3, wealth and riches is in my house. My righteousness endureth forever. And you begin to control it. You know what you are doing? You are sending those signals into your subconscious. And as they are going there, it is replacing every old thinking. Nobody has been rich in our family. Nobody has traveled abroad in our family. People don't do this in our family. You begin to replace it. Wealth begin to come. And as you are declaring it, it's going down into your subconscious mind and is becoming what? A mindset. What do we call a mindset? Have you ever seen concrete before? When they are molding concrete, You understand? And they mix it together. And they said, it is what? It is set. And you leave it there to what? To solidify. Once it's solidified, how does it become? How does it become? Strong. Is it easy to just use leg to scatter it again? No. Why? It has set. So because your mind has been set in a particular, you need to unset it and reset it. And how do you do that? By speaking the word. Do you understand that? So what you want to see, begin to say it. So it comes out from your mouth, enters through your ears, and goes into your subconscious. In 21 days, it becomes your new reality. Do you understand that? That's how it works. So that's how you change your mind. You are not feeling fine in your body. You begin to declare, by his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. As you are saying it, you are hearing it, it is going back through your ears into your subconscious. That's why the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do you understand? That is the principle. Do you understand that now? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And number next is very similar to what you have just had. That's number next. Now, when you have developed that new subconsciousness, and that becomes your new reality, what do you do next? You begin to say it. That new thing that you have said, you know it has gone there to settle. Now, the next thing is, you don't stop saying it till it becomes automatic. You don't stop saying it till it becomes what? Automatic. What do I mean? Have you ever, if you are driving, many people can drive here. You understand? But how does that work? When you are learning how to drive, praise the Lord, they tell you that this is brake, this is clutch, this is accelerator. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember when I was teaching my wife how to drive those days. Manual. Praise the Lord. Many times we will go to learn how to drive. We will fight back home. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because sometimes you tell her to press brake. That's where she will press accelerator. You say, you're shouting on me. And then you should press brake. She's pressing accelerator. Do you understand? But do you know what? Now, when you are driving, after you have passed through all those stages, how does it look like? Automatic. You don't even think about it. Has it ever happened to you that you are driving and then you just drove all the way? There was a day I was going to daddy's church. I drove all the way from here. When I got to daddy's church, you know how far that place is? It's close to 15 kilometers from here. You understand? Do you know when I arrived there, I asked myself, how did I get here? I can't remember anything that happened on the road. My mind was not there. Do you understand? I was thinking of something else. So it was just as if I just left my house with the car. They carried me and dropped me in that place. I didn't remember anything. You understand? What am I talking about? It has become automatic. Now, you need to keep doing it till it becomes automatic. For example, you get to a place and they're saying, this country is hard. The first thing that comes up in your spirit is what? No, not for me. When it starts happening like that and you begin to vocalize it, it has changed your mindset. So let your own language be different. Let it be the language of the word. Let it be the language of the thing that you believe. Look at Romans chapter 10 verse 9. It said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You believe in your heart, then you begin to confess it. Do you understand? You know, you confess it to enter into your heart. Then you confess it for it to become automatic. So that anything that comes against it, that is contrary to your mindset, you understand? You rebel against it. Does that make sense now? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then next, consciously fight negative thoughts. Consciously fight negative thoughts. Consciously fight negative thoughts. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. How do I fight negative thoughts? When a thought occurs in your spirit, what should I do? Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 gave us clear answer. Now what is the answer? Look at it. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, he gave us five things there. When a thought hits your spirit, the first thing you do is this. Have that Know this scripture. Have it in your mind. Ask yourself, this thought or this action that I want to, because it is your thought that gives birth to your action. Then you ask yourself that this thought that has come into my heart, is it honest? Is it pure? Is it just? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? If it fails any of these, there are six criteria there. If that thought doesn't meet 6/6, doesn't score 6/6, drop it. Do you understand me now? You take conscious control of your mind. Conscious, absolute. You know, the problem is this, because most of the time we have not been taught. We allow our mind to wander. You just think of anything. Anything can just come. And you just keep thinking of it. Without consciously being aware of what you are doing to yourself. But do you know the truth of the matter? You can take charge over your mind. So that when something is coming that is contrary to these principles, you drop it. Immediately. In your spirit, you just drop it. You replace a negative thought with a positive thought. Do you understand that? Until the negative thought shrinks and vanishes from your heart. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And finally, on changing your mind, change your expectations. Change your expectations. Change your expectations. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. He said, for I know the thoughts. God is a thinking God. God has his mind. That's why the Bible says, for you know that you have the mind of Christ. God thinks. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now that is critical. No matter what comes up in your life, as long as it is not the end you are expecting, refuse to accept it. Do you understand? Now the problem of many people is that is believing God. Is believing God for a car. I always use this analogy. Is believing God for a car. Then somebody came and offered him a Keke Napep or a tricycle. And he said, tricycle, car. All of them are the same thing. It's not Okada. Kai. To God be the glory. God has answered my prayer. God didn't answer your prayer. The devil gave you a temptation and you accepted it. Hallelujah. As long as it is not the end that you are expecting, refuse it. Let your expectations be focused. Now, how do I have an expectation? How do I set an expectation? How do I go towards that expectation? Very simple. I've told you before, many people in their homes, including us, we have pictures of what? We have pictures of things that are past. We have pictures of old things. There's one of my wife's son. He's not my son, he's my wife's son. There's one, you know, we went to their house one day, and the wife said, told my wife, said, look at our wall. Look at our wall. And my wife pointed my attention. She tapped me truly. And we look at the wall in his house. Are you following me now? In their house, the only pictures they hung on the wall were the pictures of his grandfather. Do you understand? And when his father was little, and when he himself was very little, the picture of himself, his wife, and his children, they were not in the house. Then inside their room, they have the picture of his mother that is dead. That died. That's the picture there. Do you understand? Now the question is this. Where do you want to go to in life? Do you want to go back to the days of your grandfather? Do you want to reverse? You know, many people in their homes, you will never enter their home and see a picture of a future that they want. And that's critical. One of the ways by which you change your expectation is by putting pictures around you of the things you are projecting towards. Those are the things you do. Do newspaper cutting. Cut out newspapers of the things. Go now, it's even very easy. Go online. If you check my screensavers, they are the pictures of the things that I want. If you see my core screensaver, is what? Is the picture of an eagle. So every time I want to unlock my phone, I tell myself, I'm an eagle. I see it. What is the future that you're expecting? I see myself flying always. I see myself above. Sicknesses don't keep an eagle down. So every time I see an eagle, I remind myself that these are the characteristics of the eagle. That is it. But some of you, your screensaver is what? Best, Naruto. Hallelujah. Spider-Man. Ah! You want to climb walls? Praise the Lord. You need to understand that these things are principle. You become what you behold. You become what you behold. Never forget that. The once you keep looking at it, that image begins to go to your subconscious mind and changes and modifies your expectation. That is why some people, when they arrive at their future, they don't even know. Why? Because there was no clear picture of where they are going to. So when they are going to Abuja and they get to Sulu, they say, "Be no da," they settle down there. Hallelujah. They settle there. Everywhere resembles where they are going. And that is an error. So what do you do? Change your expectation. And to change your expectation, change the images that you are storing in your heart. Change them. Change it to the picture of the future that you desire. That's all. Change it. Change it. Change your expectation. Because what God Himself is expecting about you is what? Is great. He said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Thoughts of peace. So when anything happens around you, does it bring peace? No. Not of evil. Is it evil? Yes, it looks like evil. That simply means it is not the end I am expecting. Because that is not the thought of God towards me. Do you understand that? So by that, you change it. You check your pocket. There is no money. No. That is not an expected end. There must be money. You refuse to accept it. Go online. Go and look at Tosh Poppy. Where he was spending money. You know, I saw a picture of where he was eating at a restaurant and in Dubai. You know, the first question was, how can he finish this? The table is almost as long as from here to 50 kilometers. All manner of food in front of him. Go and have those kind of pictures. I'm not saying you should do what Tosh Poppy did, but what am I telling you? You can be wealthy and be righteous. Psalm 112, verse 2. He said, "Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever." Does that look like your story? Why not rise up this morning as you begin to pray? The Father, Lord, I don't know that image the devil has given you. People don't live long in your family, and you have already concluded that might also be your portion. No, that's a wrong expectation. I want you to begin to declare.